The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, we are joined by the Minister for Arts, Media, Communications, Culture and Sport, Patrick O'Donovan. Minister, can I start by asking you your reaction to this news from RTE that Derek Mooney was excluded from the top 10 presenters list at the station because RTE said it was on the basis that he was listed as a producer?
Well, look, first of all, good evening to your listeners, Shane. The first I became aware of this was yesterday afternoon, and I looked immediately to meet the chairman of RTE yesterday evening, which I did remotely with my officials while I was in Listowel. And to be honest about it, I'm a bit bemused and uncertain as to how somebody who was clearly a presenter could have been classified as anything other than a presenter, even though he was also a producer for such a long period of time. And I've asked this morning the officials in my department to relay to RTE that I know that they were going to examine back as far as 2025, and that the period from 2020 to 2025 they were saying was outside of the scope of the examination. But to be honest about it, I don't think that that's acceptable. I don't think it's acceptable to not only to me as a minister, but I don't think it's acceptable to the licence fee paying public either, that we would have a situation where there would be a 4-year hiatus here where we didn't know what was going on, particularly given the fact that you know, the licence fee collapsed in a heap over issues with regard to presenters' pay and the manner in which presenters' pay was being calculated. So, look, I've also asked the Director General, the Chairman, and whoever else they deem necessary to come in and meet me in the department on Tuesday to look at the issues that they have been presented and to see as well. I've also requested breakdown from the organisation in amounts of €5,000. Total packages for everybody working in the organisation, from all grades in the organisation, so that we can get a proper picture once and for all of the costs associated with employment in the organisation.
Now, you've every right to tell me that this next question is better focused on towards RTE, but I'm curious for your take. Do you have any theories as to why a decision may have been taken back in 2020 not to put Derek Mooney on the list? I mean, the argument that has been made is he was an executive producer. But I suppose the obvious question is, did they not want Derek Mooney's name on the list? And if not, why not?
Well, I think that's a question that I'll be putting to them myself, and you, I'm sure, can put it to them as well. But that'll be a question I'll be putting to them on Tuesday: why did this happen at all? And you know, I know that the management of the company is entirely different now to what it was, and the board and the chairs and everything else is different. But look, it's a very relevant question: why did this happen?
And could I suggest something? And I don't know. This is the answer. I should stress that, but I'm just suggesting: is it because questions would have been asked why somebody who wasn't a full-time presenter was on a salary of around €200,000.
Yeah, well, look, I don't know the answer to that, but that's one of the questions that I'm going to find out, because I think that there's legitimate questions being asked by staff members in the company as well. You know, and already I've had a staff member contact me this morning, for instance, asking that we look at and that I try and seek information with regard to salaries being paid under all subheadings. In other words, if there's a person being paid for more than one subheading, can they be calculated out, and can we get a full picture as to what's happening in the organisation? Because obviously, look, the question that you've asked is a question I don't have the answer for, but it's certainly a question that we have already looked to seek to place before RTE on Tuesday. I'd like to get a rationale. I mean, at the end of the day, a presenter is a presenter is a presenter. I mean, if you're going to be doing production work for your own company at the moment, regardless of the number of hours that you spend on air, I think it's legitimate for your listeners to believe that you are a presenter and that you should be presented as a presenter. How this came about is still a bit bewildering, to be quite honest about it. I don't have an answer to it, but that's one of the questions that I'm going to seek to have an answer for. And I know that the Oireachtas Committee on Media are also going to seek to have an answer to, because they've also issued an invitation for the company to come before them.
Can you understand? I mean, RTÉ assured us when the Ryan Tuberty issue broke that they assured people that this it would never happen again. That incorrect salaries would be published. Can you understand how yet again, some years later, we're now back at this stage?
To be honest about it, I don't, because we were given assurances when the farmer minister and the government at the time bailed the company out to the tune of €750 million that we wouldn't be back in this place. It does pose some questions with regard to audit, to be quite honest about it, and it poses questions with regard to human resources as well. I mean, Claire Byrne asked a very legitimate question this morning. If a person was to be regarded as a producer, is it the case that producers are earning that sort of money within the organisation?
Well, we know they're not. We know there's a maximum of €90,000.
I know. Well, like that's... But it's still a question that needs to be posed. And if a producer is earning a maximum of €90,000, and this particular issue is clearly in excess of that, for the last 5 years, did anyone in human resources, payroll, senior exec, the senior leadership team, not look to see how have we a ceiling cap here been broken, and not just been broken, but being shattered, given the extent to which the difference between what was the maximum and what was being paid were totally at variance with each other?
But logically, I mean, I know Kevin Beckhardt said rationally and legally it was acceptable not to put Derek Mooney on the list. But in practical terms, should Derek Mooney have been on that list?
Well, sure, he's on that list now, so that answers that question.
Yeah. But sorry, let me rephrase the question. Can you understand why anyone would have taken a decision not to put him on the list?
I don't, to be honest about it, because, as I said to RTÉ's own programme, The News at One, a while ago, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. You know, a presenter is a presenter is a presenter. And whether they're presenting for an hour or 100 hours, they're a presenter. And, it should never have been the case that he was regarded as anything other than a presenter. And I should say as well, I don't want this to be turned into a let's scapegoat Derek Mooney exercise. There's an issue here with regard to...
No, he's done nothing wrong. It's important to stress that.
And I want to make that very clear. There's an issue here with regard to how salaries are reported and calculated in the organisation. And I need to know in a tabulated fashion, the entire organisation, not just presenters, because that's another rabbit hole that I could be dragged into. And, just focusing on presenters would be the wrong thing to do as well. And bear in mind that the taxpayer here is on the hook for €750 million in a bailout that was foisted upon the taxpayers by virtue of the fact that this sort of issue caused the collapse in the licence fee in the first place.
Okay, can I ask you about two other issues relating to RTÉ? First is the revelation that two presenters, Claire Byrne and Ray Darcy, were paid a total of €100,000 towards the end of last year, even though they weren't on air. Now, you would have heard Claire Byrne on News Talk this morning pointing out that she was available to work at all times, but RTÉ took the decision not to do that. And I think RTÉ have said that Ray Darcy was effectively working out his notice. What do you make of that revelation?
Well, I think given that the amounts here are larger than some giant incomes into some households, people will legitimately be asking, well, if they were available for you to work and they made themselves available to you for work, well, why didn't you ask them to do something? And Claire Byrne made it very clear this morning, I heard her myself, that while she had effectively handed in her notice, she was available to work, but she wasn't asked to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, is a very legitimate question to be asked here by the licence fee payers again and the taxpayers of Ireland. If she made herself available to work, and notwithstanding the fact that she was leaving, why didn't they give her something to do? There was 3 or 4 months of work that she could have been doing there. Whatever it was, it mightn't have had been news or current affairs, but she's a very talented person in her own right. Could they have found something for her to do? And if they couldn't, why couldn't they?
Can I also ask you about the news that 41 RTÉ staffers travelled to Prague for the World Cup qualifier? Do you have a view on that?
To be honest about it, I didn't know the full number. For a World Cup qualifier, it sounds an awful lot of people, but I'm sure that at the Oireachtas Committee, when they're going to be in front of them in the coming weeks, they'll have an explanation. But again, look, I mean, I'll be meeting the company on Tuesday. They may be able to shed a bit of light as to why 41 people were needed to report on a game, which I think, to be honest about it, if I'm not mistaken, the pictures were actually relayed from the Czech equivalent. So it'll be interesting to see why that was necessary.
Okay. Do you have confidence in Kevin Backhurst?
I do. This is a big problem that we have to get over in terms of being, first of all, the department with responsibility for paying all the bills. But secondly, in terms of the board and the director general, there's a lot of legacy problems here that are still falling out of the cupboard. I just want to assist the company in making sure that we turn the cupboard upside down to see is there anything, not just falling out of it, but is there anything that has been shoved in behind it as well that the previous occupants may have left.
Can I ask you, Minister, do you think it's credible that this was only spotted by somebody in finance 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago? I'm not doubting Kevin Backhurst's bona fides in saying when they discovered it, he came out quickly and revealed it. But is it credible that no one in currently in the organisation was aware that one of the top earners in the organisation was not on the top ten list?
I mean, that's a very legitimate question, and I posed that rhetorically there myself a while ago. How could somebody beyond a producer's category where the ceiling was 90,000, clearly not being paid 90,000, and then be re-engineered from presenter to producer? It obviously had to have HR consent, and it obviously had to have finance consent. So there is a paper trail of some description in the organisation, and I would be impressing on the organisation, let's not go down the road that the organisation went down the last time that there was a big hullabaloo and the television licence fell apart. The more disclosure with regard to documents and discovery that can be done to my department at the moment, the better. So I would be hoping that over the weekend, for instance, as I've looked for information with regard to categories of income of bands of €5,000, that'll be prepared over the weekend. But as well as that, I think the paper trail associated with all of this now needs to be compiled and be made ready as well, because it's not going to go away. Clearly, it's not going to go away. It's only going to build up ahead of steam. And the best thing to do now is to put it all out there. It predates the current chairman. It predates the current director general. So the best thing to do is to put it all out there, and so we can all disseminate it.
Final question, Minister. There's an expert advisory committee report into RTE's culture and governance, and I think this may have even come out as part of that. Does RTE have a culture and governance problem, do you think?
Well, it certainly had. But I think it has leadership at the moment that is trying its best, notwithstanding all of the proverbial landmines that have been left to blow up intermittently here, there and everywhere. It certainly had a cultural problem. Now, how quickly that cultural problem can be redressed, addressed, changed, modernised is obviously something that me and the department are anxious to progress with. We need a public service broadcaster. That debate is over. But the public's patience here, and Jack Chambers has said this before with regard to public bodies, is not infinite. I mean, we do not have another €750 million for that organisation. So when the money runs out, the money will have ran out, and they're going to have to be able to stand on their own feet and be able to demonstrate to the public that they're worthy of investing in for the licence fee, and that the licence fee is value for money, and that people should be encouraged to buy it. Today is obviously a dent in that. There's no doubt about it.
I heard you saying earlier on that the box is open again. Are you afraid that something else unpleasant is going to pop out?
I don't know, but I mean, I'm prepared for it, to be quite honest about it. I mean, if something else unpleasant comes out, I thought we had all of the unpleasantries were out already. But look, if there's more there, we'll deal with it. That's all I can say in that. But I would like it to be dealt with in an entirely different fashion to the previous regime, where, in the previous regime, information had to be dragged, kicking and screaming in Oireachtas committees and everything like that. I'm laying down a marker here that we cannot have that kind of carry on.
That won't be tolerated.
It won't be tolerated, no. I mean, if we want information, we expect to get it, especially if it's known in the organisation. And I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to be looking for pin pals here. You know, if it's a thing that there is information known in the organisation, it has to be provided to the department. If there is information that is not known, it needs to be compiled. And whatever the department and the officials representing me look for, they have to get.
Minister for Communications, Patrick O'Donovan, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.